I want to come to the Word of God, John's Gospel, chapter 18 this evening. John's Gospel, chapter 18. I was just thinking, I'm glad I didn't get a wee perm or anything in this week, or he'd have been giving me some stick. And so I'm glad I just left it the way it is and didn't make any improvements. It's good to be here. Do thank your pastor very much for the invitation to be here. Enjoyed this morning, looking forward to this evening, and we do trust the Lord might richly bless us here this evening. Harvest service, always a very special time. It's always a date in which you can remember, and I remember hearing a story about a harvest service in the United States. And you know, the phone rang, and the secretary of the church, and she answered the phone, and the man says, "I want to talk to the head hog at the truck." And she says, "You can't talk to his reverence like that. You know, you're going to have to show a little bit of respect. You can't call him the head hog at the truck." And she says, and he said, "Well, it's harvest time, and I've got a check here for $10,000 that I wanted to donate to the church." She says, "Hold on, I'll get the big pig now." If you've got $10,000 this evening, you can call me whatever you want, or you can say whatever you want about Meher either. But anyway, John's Gospel, chapter 18, we're going to read from verse number 33, please. John's Gospel, chapter 18, and reading from the verse number 33. Well-known scene in Scripture. And we just want to look at this again this evening. John 18, verse 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, "I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" Then cried they all again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. And we do trust the Lord to bless the reading of his own precious and fallible, inerrant and inspired word to our hearts this evening. We break into the story here in John's Gospel, chapter 18. And the Lord Jesus Christ is coming to the final stages of one of his trials. He already has been through a religious trial, if we could call it that. It was a kangaroo court in every sense of the word. He's been through a political trial, a number of stages, and he's coming to that final stage where indeed he's going to be sent away to be crucified by Pilate. Pilate was trying his best to get off the hook. He didn't really want to make that decision concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 39 says, "Ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" I'm told that at Passover time the Jews would be full of patriotism, and it was always a risky time for the Roman authorities, so they would throw them little crumbs. Little crumbs just to try and appease them. And here was a little crumb that he decided to throw to them. He says, "I'm going to release a notable prisoner. If he thought if he let this prisoner go, then perhaps the Jews would be appeased." But as he stands before this angry mob of religious Jews, he's bringing them a choice. They have one choice. They have two choices. They can either accept the Lord Jesus Christ or Barabbas. It's either set Jesus free or set Barabbas free. It was and should have been a very easy decision. Christ or Barabbas. It should have been a simple choice. I'm really not fond of election time. I always think it's a terrible time because the countryside's plastered with posters, and you're having to look at some of the politicians, and with all the photoshopping that they can do, they still don't look the best. And it's not a nice thing to have to look at them. You've got all the television advertisements, you've got the party election broadcasts, the TV debates, you have opinion poll after opinion poll. And then comes polling day, normally on a Thursday. And the polls usually open about 7 a.m. in the morning. And they close at 10 p.m. in the evening. After 10 p.m., that's it. The decision has been made. The votes are cast. Whatever it is, that's what it's going to be. And with many decisions in life, there comes a point when that's going to be the final decision that you're going to make. Tonight you're facing a choice. Either accept Jesus Christ or reject the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Maybe tonight you could put your X in the box and that's going to seal your eternal destiny. Once the vote was cast here, Jesus or Barabbas, it was irreversible. Maybe tonight your decision will be the final decision. It will be if you accept Christ. If you reject Christ, you may reject him for the last time. What are you going to do with Jesus Christ tonight? Right throughout Scripture, men and women have been making choices. When we get into the Old Testament, we read about a young man called Moses. The Hebrew writer describes it in Hebrews 11. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Here's a young man and he has a choice to make. He'd been brought up in the palace in Egypt. He had seen the ways of the Egyptians. He knew the ways of the world. He knew what it had to offer. On the other hand were the people of God. Would he decide to go with God's people or would he stay with the world? Would he rather choose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season? And Moses made the right decision. Maybe a young man tonight, a young person, you're going to have to decide tonight. It's either going to be the world or it's going to be Jesus Christ. I hope tonight you say, take the world, but give me Jesus. A young woman in Scripture called Ruth, just a young girl as she comes to the border, and she has left Moab, she's on the border, just about to enter into the land. She's heading for Bethlehem. And when she comes to the border, her sister decides she's going back. And Orpah turns back and she heads back into Moab. And Ruth has a decision to make as she stands at the border. Is she going to go through with God? Is she going to go through? Is she going to make the right decision? Ruth 1 verse 16, Ruth said, "Entreat me not," speaking to Naomi, "entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." And they're standing on the border, ready to make the most decision, the most important decision in her life. She says to Naomi, "Your God is going to be my God now." And maybe a young woman tonight. And you come into the meeting not expecting to be confronted with a decision tonight. But you're going to have to decide what you're going to do with Christ. Are you going to be like Orpah, the sister who turned her back and went back into the world? Are you going to be like Ruth? You're going to go through with Christ and go through tonight. There are many choices we find in Scripture. We read about a dad who had to make a choice. His name was Lot. Now, he was a righteous man. That's what the New Testament tells us. And Lot had a decision to make, and before him was the well-watered plains of Sodom. And as he looked at the well-watered plains, he thought, you know, that's going to be good for cattle. And so he makes his choice on his farm, on his financial benefit, and he doesn't seem to care about his family. And Lot makes the choice, and he moves his family. He pitches his tents towards Sodom. Eventually, he ends up in Sodom. And you know, when the day comes, when God's going to judge that awful, evil city. And Lot tries to witness to his family. Most of them just laughed at him. And because he made the wrong decision, most of his family perished and went to hell, including his wife. Lot made a decision that day. And maybe there's a dad tonight and you're going to have to make a decision. What are you going to do with Christ tonight? You know, we read in Scripture about a mum and a grandmum. And you know, they made the right decision. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 5, Paul says, speaking to Timothy, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee." And then he says, "Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois." And I could see the old granny. And she's heard the gospel. And she trusts the Lord. And she's saved by the grace of God. Next, her daughter's saved. And then, after her daughter's saved, her daughter's son is saved. And you see how the Lord worked right through that family. And maybe there's a granny here tonight and you're not saved. Or a granddad and you're not saved. And you know, as you open your heart to Christ tonight, you could be opening your family to Jesus Christ tonight. The decision you make concerning Christ is the most important decision you'll ever make. Sometimes a whole nation or a whole company of people had to make a decision. Elijah, speaking to the people in his day, said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him, "Not a word." And so tonight it's all about a choice. It's Jesus or Barabbas for you tonight. Let's think about this choice that you're facing tonight. Let me say something about the registration to begin with. Let me explain what I mean. You know, if you want to vote in the United Kingdom, you have to be over 18 years of age or over. You must be a citizen of the United Kingdom for at least a period of time, and you must register to vote. I found this out a number of years ago. We had moved house. We were still in County Tyrone, and we moved to another house inside County Tyrone. And in between there was an election, and they'd sent out the forms to fill in to register to vote, and I never bothered my head. I must have forgot about it, or else it was lost in the post. And I remember talking to our local MP at the time. I'll not say who he was, but he used to do an awful lot of singing. In fact, I think he still does a bit of singing. And I remember telling him, I was at a meeting one night, and I says, "You know, I have no vote because I didn't fill in the form and I'm not in the electoral register." And he says, "It annoys me, stupid people like that." I said, "Well, I'll not tell him that again." But he was annoyed that I had been so silly. I wasn't able to cast a vote on that occasion. But let me tell you about the decision you have to make tonight. You see, the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." It says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." You can't get out of this tonight. You know, in the Scottish referendum, 3,619,915 people voted. 84.5%. The highest turnout ever in the United Kingdom election. From the women also were given the vote in 1918. And nearly 100% of the people of Scotland had to make a decision. Let me say tonight, 100% of people in this meeting will make a decision concerning Christ. And you'll make a decision tonight if you haven't already accepted him. You will decide tonight to accept the Lord, or you will decide to reject the Lord tonight. And so you can't get out of it tonight. You see the registration. Let me say something about the option tonight. What's the choices here that's facing the people? Look at verse 39. "Ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews?" Then cried they all again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. They couldn't even bring themselves to mention the name of the Lord Jesus. They say, "Not this man, but Barabbas." And so they have two choices. Either Jesus or Barabbas. And that's the choice that they were facing. That's the decision that they had to face. Now let's think of the choice they had, the option they had. Let's think about Jesus Christ for a few moments. What can we say about the Lord this evening? What has heaven to say about the Lord Jesus Christ? Matthew 3 verse 16, "Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Heaven says that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What has earth to say about him this evening? Let's go to the cross. Do you remember the centurion that stood at the side of the cross? You know, he witnessed so much. He probably saw the darkness that came over the land. He maybe felt the earthquake. He possibly heard the seven cries coming from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He never witnessed anything like this in his life. He'd been at hundreds of crucifixions. This was all in a day's work to him, but it was no ordinary day. There was something different about the man on the center cross. There was something special about him. And he says, truly, this man was the Son of God. Earth declares that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What about hell tonight? You know, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 7, when the Lord Jesus confronts the demon, we read this, and cried with a loud voice, this is the demon speaking, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? Even the demons from hell declare that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Heaven tells us he's the Son of God. Earth tells us he's the Son of God. Even hell declares him to be the Son of God. So many people in Scripture speak about the sinlessness of Christ. Judas Iscariot, the man who betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver, describes him as an innocent man. The wife of Pontius Pilate, do you remember she had the dream and she said, have nothing to do with this just man? One of the thieves on the cross, testifying of the Lord Jesus, said, this man hath done nothing amiss. Even Pilate himself, the judge, on three occasions says, I find no fault in him. There are so many who could testify to the sinlessness of Jesus Christ. Heaven declares he's the Son of God. Earth witnesses he's the Son of God. The demons tell us he's the Son of God. Witness after witness declares the sinlessness of Jesus Christ this evening. Remember when he had gone through the waters of baptism, or when he was coming to be baptized? You remember what John the Baptist said of him? He said, behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. Now John knew exactly what the Lamb of God was. He knew exactly what he was saying. His mind would go to the Passover Lamb in Exodus chapter 12. And he would have known before that Lamb was ever sacrificed, the Lamb would be examined and inspected to make sure it was without blemish and without spot. And so when John says, behold the Lamb of God, he was declaring that Jesus Christ was indeed the Lamb without blemish and without spot. He was the sinless, spotless Son of the living God. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2, verse 22, that he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He never said a wrong word. You know what James tells us? If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. In Jesus Christ, there was no guile in his mouth. Never a wrong word. Never a loose word. Never a dishonest word. Never a man speak like this man. James says, a man who can do that's a perfect man. Jesus Christ was the perfect man. Absolutely, completely, totally sinless Son of the living God. We have testimony after testimony. We have record after record. We have even the personal testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he said in John 8, verse 29. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. And listen to this. He says, I do always the things that please him. Could any of us have the audacity to say that this evening? I always do those things that please him. You know what he said in the same chapter in verse 46? He said, which of you convinceth me of sin? Someone says that you could translate it like this. Which of you can truthfully accuse me of one single sin? What a statement to make. Would any of you like to come up here tonight and issue that charge to this congregation? You know, I wouldn't dare do it tonight. My wife's in the meeting tonight. She could come up and she could tell you all about me. I wouldn't have the nerve to do it. Jesus Christ says, which of you can accuse me of one single sin? Jesus Christ is brought before you tonight. He is the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. What an amazing man. He opened the blinded eyes. He gave hearing to the deaf. He gave speech to the dumb. He gave peace to the widow. He even gave life to those who were dead. John says, we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And Jesus Christ is set before you tonight. And because he was the sinless Son of God, he was God manifest in the flesh, He went to Calvary to pay the price for your sin and for my sin. And truly there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. Jesus Christ tonight is sent before you as a Savior who is sinless and spotless and absolutely perfect. And you can trust Him with your soul tonight. What's the other option this evening? Well, John tells us here at the end of verse 40, "Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas." Now, Barabbas was a robber. And here's the alternative. He's a robber. Mark tells us in his account there was one named Barabbas which lay bound with them that had made insurrection. That tells us he was not only a robber, he was a rebel, but it even gets worse, who had committed murder in the insurrection. He's a rebel, he's a robber, he's a murderer. And here's the choice. You have Jesus Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, the one who is loving and gracious and merciful, the one who is so good, the one who has paid redemption's price, the one who offers a full and free salvation. And here we have Barabbas. And Barabbas is a robber. I want you to think about Barabbas for a few moments. Jesus was the sinless Son of God. Barabbas was a sinful son of a sinful father. Jesus was a giver. Barabbas was a robber, a taker. Jesus gives peace. Barabbas caused disturbance of peace. He was a rebel. Jesus gives life. Barabbas takes life. Can you see the choice this evening? And tonight the choice for you is not a person called Barabbas. But I believe there's something or someone and they're robbing you tonight. The devil's robbing you tonight. There's something in your life tonight. And you have put it ahead of Jesus Christ. And your choice tonight is that, whatever it happens to be. For some people it's booze, for some people it's drink, for some people it's money, for some people it's sex, for some people it's religion. For some people it's themselves. They're depending on their own good works. And whatever it is tonight, they're robbing you. And you have a decision. Are you going to stick with the robber? Are you going to choose Jesus Christ tonight? You see the registration? You see the option? And then we see the decision in verse 40. "Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. I wonder, have you latched on to a robber tonight? Someone who's robbing you of the joy of knowing that your sins are forgiven. Somebody who's robbing you of the peace, that peace with God and the peace of God, that peace that passeth all understanding. Someone who's robbing you of redemption tonight, robbing you of justification tonight, robbing you of being able to say that you have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, robbing you of a place in heaven. The devil's a robber tonight. Maybe it's something else tonight and it's robbing you. And Jesus Christ wants to offer you eternal life tonight. Mark tells us that the chief priests moved the people that he should release Barabbas unto them. You know, there were those who were persuading not to choose Christ, but to choose Barabbas. I wonder who's calling the shots as far as you're concerned tonight. Maybe it's a friend that you're afraid of. Maybe it's someone in the home. And tonight you'd love to get saved. But someone or something is robbing you tonight. And you have a simple choice this evening. Jesus Christ, who died and rose again and can be your Savior, can take away your sin, can leave you ready and fit for heaven. You can know the joy of sins forgiven. You can know the fellowship with Him day by day, or some robber tonight. Barabbas was a robber. And this is the choice that they're facing, and they make the wrong decision. And Jesus Christ is offering you a free salvation tonight. You see the registration, you see the option, you see the decision. Let me say something finally about substitution. Because I want to turn it around a little bit. I want you to think about Barabbas this evening as we bring our meeting to a close. I have a picture of Barabbas in my mind, and he's sitting in the prison cell. And he knows that his end is nigh. He's been judged. He's been found guilty. He's condemned. And he's facing certain death. He's under condemnation. He's like a sinner. Because without Christ, you're condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. You're condemned tonight. You're under sentence tonight. And you're facing the judgment of God. This is where Barabbas is. And he's just waiting for the execution to be carried out. He knows that tomorrow he's going to die. I remember someone, one night he got the knock at the door, and it was a soldier with an English accent. And he says, "You're going to be shot tomorrow, but I'm taking your place." What a shock to the system to be told you're going to die tomorrow. I wonder if you thought you were going to die tomorrow, what you would do tonight with Jesus Christ. Barabbas is sitting there, and I would say every time he heard a noise, his heart fluttered. And I would say as the soldiers made their way to the prison cell, I'm sure he thought, this is it. And as the key went into the door and he could hear the door opening and the old creaky door, and in came the soldiers and out walked Barabbas. And as he looked up and he could see the sunshine of another day, he probably thought in his mind, I'll never see this again. And one of the guards says, "You're free to go. You're free to go." And I'm sure Barabbas says, "How? What has happened?" He was told about a man called Jesus Christ. And that man was dying in the center cross in the place of Barabbas. I wonder, did Barabbas hang about? I wonder, did he get a high vantage point as he looked down and he saw Jesus Christ hanging in that center cross? I wonder, did he realize and did he appreciate that Jesus Christ had died for him and died in his place? I wonder, would you realize that tonight? And your choice tonight is a robber who will rob you of heaven, rob you of hope, rob you of joy, and take you to hell. Or Jesus Christ who wants to give you everything. Jesus Christ gave his everything in order to give you everything. The devil wants to rob you of everything and leave you with nothing, so that you may die in your sins and go to a lost sinner's hell. And so we're back to the decision this evening. Jesus or Barabbas? Now, Barabbas was a robber. Are you going to continue being robbed? And maybe tonight, this will be your final decision. I don't know much about Glastonbury. I promise you, I know very little about it. But I was reading in the newspaper that there were 120,000 tickets went for sale for Glastonbury at £225 each. And they sold within 26 minutes. They sell far quicker than Dennis's books even sell. And I was just thinking, when you see the appetite and the urgency, there must have been people sitting up all night, waiting for the tickets to go on sale, just waiting for that moment that they might hit the button and that they might get what they want. And the enthusiasm, the energy and the urgency that they put into something like that. You know, if only they would realize that they've got a soul that will live on for all eternity. And if this soul dies without Christ, it'll be in the lake of fire, burning in hell forever. And if you could realize that tonight, if you could get something of that urgency into your heart this evening, and realize you have the most important decision you're ever going to have to make tonight, Jesus or Barabbas? Someone who's going to rob you, or someone who wants to give you everything? What's your decision going to be tonight? You know, this is the 12th of October, 2014. I know what I was doing 28 years ago. Because I could take you to a meeting in Coke Baptist Church on the 12th of October, 1986. Fred Orr was preaching the gospel. There was a young man sitting in the meeting under conviction of sin. And as the meeting drew to a close, probably around this time, Fred Orr made an appeal. and said, if you're interested in being saved, if you want to be saved, you just put your hand up and let me see that I know that you're interested. This young man sitting in the meeting, and up the hand went. And 28 years ago, he was saved by the grace of God on the 12th of October. And of course, that young man was me. Wouldn't it be lovely tonight? And I don't mind sharing my birthday with you tonight, if you would open your heart to Jesus Christ tonight and trust Him as your own and personal Savior. Jesus or Barabbas, heaven or hell, saved or lost, what is it for you tonight? Let's pray. Just in the quietness of these few moments, if the Lord has been speaking to your heart tonight, don't be concerned about the person beside you. This is about you tonight. And you have a simple choice tonight. There's one who has been robbing you of eternal life, robbing you of hope and joy and peace, robbing you of that satisfaction knowing that you're saved, robbing you of that song where you can't really sing, it is well with my soul. There's one tonight standing and he wants to give you everything. He wants to give you eternal life. He wants to give you peace and joy and satisfaction. And he wants to give you real purpose in life. And so you have a choice to make tonight. I can't save you tonight and Dennis can't save you. But you know, if you'd like to speak to any of us, we'd love to tell you more about our Savior. If you'd like to get saved tonight, I would encourage you tonight to do what I did on the 12th of October, 1986. I had to have the courage to trust Christ that night. I'd put it off long enough. Will you do it tonight? If you want to speak to us, we'll be at the door and we'd love to spend time with you. We would love you to find Christ tonight. I would love you to find my Savior tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel. Lord, forbid that we would complicate it. Lord, forgive me if there's anything that has been said that's wrong. But, oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that the Word of God might fall on good ground tonight. And someone, Lord, indeed will have the courage to say, Christ for me. Take the word, but give me Jesus. Lord, may salvation, blessing, visit this place. For we ask it in our Savior's precious name. Amen. The Menteith family is going to come now and sing the final piece. Thank you.